This is Hunter Gilstrap from the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, and you're listening to the Mongols Podcast.
Kev, you mentioned at the end of the last show that you wanted to see more of what Corey Hertzog can do based on the immediate imprint he left on the game. Little did we know at that time that he'd be dropping by the show. Corey, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Can't wait to talk to you guys.
Great. So first and foremost, Corey, welcome to Pittsburgh. So I think we as fans, I think, can forget sometimes that players themselves are human beings that have a life outside the team. So, you know, before we get into the technical stuff, I'm just curious to kind of to hear what your experiences have been like off the pitch. Have you been settling in okay? Have you found a place you like? You know, do you feel settled off the pitch? Are your friends and family kind of near enough? How's that going for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, fans always, they only see us as soccer players and all that, so they don't know much about the processes of moving, changing teams and everything, family stuff, just all that. But no, everything's been great coming to Pittsburgh. I mean, the weather's a little different than Florida, so it's a little colder. But I moved back to Pennsylvania, where that's home. And I mean, it's only a 4-hour drive to see my parents instead of an 18-hour drive, or when I was in Vancouver, a 5-hour flight. So it's nice to be back in Pennsylvania near Penn State and back home.
Were your parents at that game this past weekend, getting soaked? Hopefully not.
Yeah, they were there. They were definitely. My parents come to every game possible. I mean, in college, I don't think they missed one home game, or I want to say away game, but there's obviously been some where it's almost impossible to get to. But every game they can come to, they will be there. Cold, rain, whatever the weather is.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Kudos to them. That's great to hear.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, we talked, you know, just about that game. Give us an on-the-field perspective, you know, what it was like to be there. If a close friend asked you afterwards, you know, to recap that experience, what would you tell them it was like?
Yeah, I actually had two perspectives of the game, because I didn't play the first half because of my injury and just getting back in with the team and that. So from watching the first half, I mean, the weather conditions were one to deal with the wind, the rain, and all that. So it's hard for us to get into the style of play that we want to play this year. And so it was a tough game coming into the first half. But then I think at halftime, the weather kind of calmed down. I mean, I got to come on. So I was buzzing 3 months of preseason and just waiting for the first game. So I was buzzing. So that brought a little bit of life, I think, to the team. And I mean, to be honest, I think we had better chances. I mean, they had a good goal, great finish by the Rochester forward, but I just think we had the better opportunities. And I don't want to say we were the better team or anything, but on that day, I think we had the better opportunities, and we were unlucky to come away with 3 points, let alone 1 point. So it was a okay first game for us. I mean, we created chances, and that's all you want to do as a team right now. Now all we need to work on is finishing them. So if we get chances every game like that, I think coach would be pretty happy, because I think eventually they'll start going in.
Yeah, I would absolutely second that. So I guess, so you mentioned that for 45 minutes you came on for the second half, and you played at the head of what looked like a 4-2-3-1. And I was curious to kind of hear what it's like being the lone striker in that kind of system. What are some of the challenges being maybe the only striker up there? And would you maybe prefer to play with another striker by your side? Or is it kind of nice having maybe three attacking midfielders kind of supporting you behind you?
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to have as many players around you as possible. And I think in this system, it also helps with the underneath and wide play around me. But I would say the hardest thing is maybe staying focused, because sometimes you're caught on an island and you don't touch the ball for maybe 2-3 minutes. And then when you do touch it, it's either in the box or you're the most important part, just laying it off to the attacking mid or the outside guys coming in. So I would say staying focused and staying in your position, because I feel like when players don't get the ball or 3-4 minutes, they tend to veer off into other positions just to get a touch. So that's probably one of my main focus. And with my work rate, I just don't want to, I have to learn to stay in my position and not run around the field. And that sometimes could hurt the team, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It was pretty quickly. It looked like the chances that you got. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily a kind of slow buildup. It seemed like the ball was at your feet and you had maybe a second and a half to make a decision and kind of get the ball out of your feet. And that can't be easy, especially with the defense that Rochester has and the kind of weather that you were facing that night.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's go back a few years. Okay. You and Kevin were actually at Penn State at the same time. But you set all sorts of records while you were in college, and you were drafted, as a striker by the New York Red Bulls, who at the time had Thierry Henry. That's something that most of us can only dream of, basically getting that call that you're going to go pro. What was that realization like, knowing that A, you were going pro, and B, you'd be playing with one of the best strikers in the world?
Yeah, I mean, going professionally has always been my dream. And I mean, I can remember that day just like it was yesterday. I mean, I had my friends, my family, and everything on draft day. And just hearing your name getting called, it's just, wow. Like, as soon as my name got called, I think my phone just started buzzing and didn't stop buzzing for about 30, 40 minutes after. I think it died, actually. I just let it go. So, I mean, the friends, family, I mean, mostly it's just I was happy for my parents and my family and my friends that, like, helped me get to where I was that day, It was more for them than for me at that moment. And then, obviously, sitting back about 2-3 hours later, it's just like, wow, you're a professional soccer player. But then the first question I got was, do you know who you're going to be playing underneath? And I was like, oh yeah, Thierry Henry. I mean, as a 20-year-old or a 19-year-old, I forget how, I think it was 20, coming out of college and, I mean, being the main guy coming out of Penn State and scoring goals, and to realize that you're going to be playing with Thierry Henry in a couple months is, I mean, everybody's dream. I mean, you get to learn from the best. So, I mean, those 2 years, I've learned so much just from training with him or just listening to him, what he says and all that. So it was a huge helpful, everybody wants to play the first couple of years. Obviously I wanted to, but I mean, just being behind Thierry Henry was basically me getting playing time, just learning, watching him play.
Yeah. No, definitely. And, so, and you talked a bit about there just from learning from him and learning from that entire experience, just maybe going back even a couple more years. I mean, talking about maybe your youth development in America. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious just to hear what your kind of youth development experience was like, especially in a kind of American philosophy. Because I think if you look across kind of world soccer, you get kind of different philosophies on youth development, like the Dutch total football kind of philosophy versus more of an, like an English, we identify this, young players, and this is their position, and we'll train them in that position. What was your experience like, and was it a positive experience, and did you always know you wanted to, like, score goals and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, my dad always, I mean, I bet I have a kind of a different story than most American soccer players coming up. I mean, my dad was my coach since under eights, under nines, all the way up to I left for college, actually. So I played with him for about 13, 14 years as my under 10s, the under 15s, to high school, to even assistant coaches my club team and all that. So
you must have been a heck of a coach.
it was a huge, huge part of my life. And I think that's where my style of play comes in when I think about it, because when your dad's the coach, you don't want to be that kid that, oh, he's only playing because your dad's a coach. So I think that's what made me work harder, where my work ethic comes in. I've always wanted to prove to other people that it wasn't just my dad that was putting me in the starting lineup, that I earned it in that. So that's where I think my work ethic in that came. And honestly, scoring goals is the best part of the game. I hate saying that for defenders and the goalies and that.
I absolutely agree. Yeah.
I've always loved scoring goals, no matter if it's in a competitive game or if I'm just out there at the end of training shooting on nobody, just me and the mannequin. So, I mean, it's the best part of the game, and that's where I want to be and want to score big-time goals for this club this year.
Just out of curiosity, you mentioned that your dad was your coach for so long. Kevin and I both grew up playing. Our dad was our coach, but he had, like, no background in soccer. And now I have some background from playing, and, I'm coaching my kids. Did your dad have any background, or was he just sort of learning as he went?
I would say, I mean, he was a goalie in high school, and he has his licenses, I think, C or something like that. So he knew what he was doing, but I think he also learned on his way. I mean, I played at clubs that he was an assistant coach. So he learned from them and then just kept learning the game. He became a high school coach. I mean, my freshman year, he was assistant. He just wanted to be there. He wasn't getting paid. He just came to every training. He wanted to be the assistant coach. And that year we won the state championship. And I mean, a year later, he was the head coach. So, I mean, just always loved being around the game and trying to teach kids how to play and just try to get them to the next level. So, yeah, he learned as he goes, but he definitely knew what he was doing too.
I mean, I can't imagine that he could be any prouder at this point, considering, yeah. You know, his product is just, yep, there's my kid. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I love when he's at the game.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the Keystone Derby. You know, now that Rochester's mm-hmm. behind us, what's the word around the team as you guys are preparing for Harrisburg this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it's a derby game. So we all know that this game, as most derby, mean a lot to the fans. So we want to win them for the fans and for you guys and the people in the stands and all that. But also we want to get our first 3 points of the season, stay in a positive, because we got lucky. We got 2 home games in a row. So we didn't get the result we wanted, but we have another chance to come home in front of everybody, play a derby, and just get those 3 points. So right now it's just pretty positive. We're just looking at all the positives from the weekend, like our chances and everything like that, and just working on some finishing and building out of the back. Hopefully the wind and rain can hold up till Sunday, but yeah. We'll deal with whatever we can and get the 3 points.
How's the ankle feeling?
Ankle feels great. Definitely missed 5 weeks, and I think that's where also my finishing and the touches and everything was a little rusty coming into that game. I wish I could have at least scored one so we got 1 point, but feeling great. Have a full week of training ahead of me and hopefully can score 1 or 2 goals this weekend.
Awesome. That sounds great. Actually, Kevin and I have a little bet in terms of the final score. I called that we're going to win 4-0. How many of those do you think that you'll put behind the goalie yourself?
I mean, if it's 4-0, I'd love to score all 4. But
yes.
I'm hoping for two.
That's great.
I don't want to get too excited because it's only Tuesday night, so I want to be able to sleep. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So
we'll work up to that.
Love to score as many goals as possible, but as long as we get those 3 points, that's what really matters.
That's awesome. All right. So one of the things that we did with Hunter is we did a lightning round. So what we're going to do here is we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock, and we're going to ask you as many A or B questions as you can get through. Okay.
A or B.
So it's gonna be one or the other, and it's rapid fire. Hunter got through 7, so that's your number to beat is 7. Okay.
All right,
are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Wind or rain?
Wind.
Derby or Darby?
Darby.
Pass or shoot?
Shoot.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Turf or grass?
Grass.
Take a risk or play it safe?
Take a risk.
Beard or no beard?
Beard now.
Free kick or penalty?
Penalty.
Soup or salad?
Salad.
Car or truck?
Car.
Soccer or football?
Soccer.
Perfect.
You killed it. Oh, you got 11.
11. Oh, man.
There we go, number 11. That's my number. So
Hunter, where are you at, man? He just buried you. That was great. And that's 2 for soccer. That's awesome. So
there we go. It's awesome.
So Corey, you know, thanks again for joining us. Yeah, this has been fantastic. Everyone, make sure that you go and follow Corey on social media. You're at Herzog_Corey on Twitter. I did notice you wrote on there, "I make a mean smoothie."
I love making some fruit smoothies for me and my girlfriend. I can't tell the trigger. It wouldn't be a mean smoothie. Everybody would know. You'll have to bring some out sometime.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. On Instagram, it's Corey Herzog. Corey, thanks again for talking to us today. Best of luck this season and this weekend against Harrisburg.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you guys Saturday and get those 3 points.
Definitely.
Thank you.